Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored, and the funk is back. Of course, Tommy's sitting over there. What's up, dude? What's on the show this week?
Not much, man. We got VR stuff. We got big announcements from two kind of big VR mixed reality people, so that'll be fun. We have the comings and goings of the game industry is a little bit of a theme this week. Several like announcements of either games that are dying or people that are retiring, and so we'll talk about those. Plus some exciting announcements about some games that are coming, some things we're going to see at E3 or even before E3, and so should be fun stuff. So how you doing, man?
I had a totally different intro for the show, and I couldn't do it with a straight face. I almost said my name is Big Earl, and over there's the toast room. And I could not do it with a straight face.
That would have been great.
For those of you guys that don't know what we're talking about, we're really excited.
We are really excited.
Really excited. And I don't know if this makes us losers or just geeks.
Both. I would definitely say both.
Okay, yeah, because this is one of those things that I'm sure if she saw it, got an eye roll from your wife.
Oh, yeah, yeah, she hasn't seen it. She would definitely eye roll, because it's absurd. So, of course, what we're talking about is the finally released Toe Jam and Earl remake that we Kickstarter funded long, long ago and has been in the works.
Like, we gave those guys money like 5 years ago.
Yeah, it's been so long. If it wasn't for their sending me emails fairly regularly, I would have totally forgot about it. But it's finally here. It's finally released. And so if you were like us and super nerdy losers that backed it on Kickstarter 5 years ago, you should have got a download code, which I had to go search for. You were like, oh, I got mine last night. And I was like, I haven't seen it. Because it was in my spam, like buried. And
yeah, that's where mine was. Not great. You really had to search.
Yeah, but go find it, or you can go buy it on Steam, and it's either out on consoles or will be out on consoles soon. But it is
it is coming. They have emailed that swears it's coming to every console, including the Switch,
which is pretty cool. It would be fun to play it on the Switch. That'd be a good platform for it. So anyway, we got that, and we've been able to play just a little bit of it. We haven't played it together yet. We're kind of saving that for soon and to make some content around that, have some fun with that. But we're geeked out about it and digging it.
We're geeked out because it's really, really good.
It is, and it was surprising to me. Like, so if you're not familiar with Toe Jam and Earl, because it's kind of an obscure title from our youth, it's this really dumb game. And like, let's just preface it with saying it's completely stupid, and why the sexy sidekick would immediately roll her eyes if she saw it. It's just like juvenile humor that was incredibly funny when we were kids, and thus is nostalgically funny now. Like, it's still funny. It's something I would find funny probably if it wasn't so nostalgic. But because it's so nostalgic, I think it's amazing, you know, like I'm just eating it up. And so I'm really curious to, like, I want to hear from somebody who plays this game, who didn't play the original, had no exposure to Toe Jam and Earl before this re-release came out. Because I honestly don't know. Like, I don't know how it will land with somebody who doesn't have that nostalgia with it.
I will bet you money they'll say it's the worst thing ever.
I would bet
$1,000 that somebody had never seen it would just say it was the worst thing ever, or at best it would get a meh.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, because it's a fairly stupid premise. It's fairly dumb humor, and the gameplay, to be honest with you, is like it's fun. I think because I dug the original. But it's kind of dumb. The enemies are a little ridiculous. Like, there's just a bunch of, like, issues with it in being a modern game. But in being a nostalgic game, it's phenomenal. It's just so good. So the like, art style, like, they really pulled it off enough that it feels like the original and yet still, like, has this cool kind of glossy new style to it. My favorite thing about it is as you're going up the levels, like you can really see the like level you came from, like in the background, you know, like you could fall
yeah.
to it, but you can kind of see like all the little details of the level that you came from, which I think is super cool. Like that's a neat little feature that wasn't there in the original, not at that level. That's just fun. And just for a game that's so nostalgic, like makes me very happy.
Well, the other thing, they added a couple of things which I'm ecstatic about because they took this game that we love and they added a couple of things that might have been in a couple of the other games I don't remember. But first they added the funk zone.
Yes.
Which gives you bonuses when you find a doorway that takes you to the funk zone.
Which is pretty cool.
And as I was playing Friday, which you'll get a kick out of this, I saw that it was out. I texted you. I downloaded it. It's a fairly small game. And I looked up 6 hours later, and my evening was gone. but the other thing that I noticed was, you have the ability to end up at some point in your play session via a doorway on Funkatron.
Nice.
And everything on Funkatron is, like, good. Like, there's presents and money and various other things.
Yeah.
And that, like, I'm sure they did that not in the original game, but in... and a couple of the other ones.
Maybe so.
It's a nice addition.
Yeah.
I dig it.
I do too. And it's got some new enemies that are kind of modernized. There's the internet troll, which is my favorite one, that like hurls insults at you. And then like if he hits you, it makes your controls like backwards like the Cupid arrow does kind of.
You know what? You know the one that drives me insane? That is the reason I died the last time I played, is that stupid kid that's walking around that says, "Hey, sign my game!" Have you seen that one?
I haven't seen that one.
It's like it's this kid walking around with a copy of the game and a pen, and he's like, "Hey, sign my game!"
That's
and, like, it's really funny, but he, like, bumps you, and, like, he knocked me off the level. Like 6 times.
Yeah.
And I just want to get a rose bush or something and make the kid run into it because I hate that enemy.
That's hilarious. There's a dude on a Segway. That one's a fun one.
The Segway, yeah.
The Segway dude. It's everything that the original was with a lot of added features. There's a lot of new, like, good Earthlings, too, that can help you out in different ways. And so, I don't know. I'm excited to play more of it. I'm trying to keep from playing much of it at this point because I want to, when we play it together, I'm really looking forward to digging through it more then. So, but I'm digging it at this point. So,
I think it's going to be a blast. And I think it's something that for all the games that we need to play, and that list keeps getting longer and longer and longer, we're going to spend far too much time on this.
You are absolutely right. I like the little D&D people. That one's fun.
Yes!
That's a new addition that wasn't in the original.
Have you ever, did you do that with the D&D people? Did you give them money?
Yeah.
If you have, did you win?
I did once. I did it twice, and I lost once, and I won once.
Okay, because so. I won once, and if you win, it's a pretty decent bonus.
Yeah.
Like, you end up with a lot of extra money, which they did a really nice job with the money.
Yeah.
Like, they give you good reasons to spend the money,
yeah,
which I like.
And the like, there's bushes and trees and all this stuff that you can like shake and find money behind, which it pops out from a lot of different places. And
money and other stuff.
And other stuff, presents and food and all kinds of craziness. And so, yeah, it's fun. I'm looking forward to playing more of it for sure.
We're children.
We are.
Like, we just are.
And it's the most childish game that maybe exists, but yet we're going to play the heck out of it.
Hey, Duff, you got to play Don't Damn It, Earl. I told him he had to play Path of Exile. Now you got to play Don't Damn It, Earl. And if you don't find it funny, dude, you're fired.
They are very different games.
Yes,
about as different of games as you can get, but fantastic. So, yeah, that's Toe Jam and Earl. We're geeking out about it, and we've got more Toe Jam and Earl news actually in the show. So be prepared for that. We've got more Toe Jam and Earl to talk about, which I don't know if you've seen it. It will geek you out. It's amazing. So.
I don't think I must have missed that because I went through the show notes and I somehow must have not seen that.
It'll blow your mind. It's phenomenal. So we'll get to that shortly. I will mention I've actually played a little bit of something else. Not much. I played about 20 minutes of Red Dead. So if you haven't seen that, there's a little bit of me running around on Red Dead. Not much. But I picked up Super Smash Brothers on the Switch, and so I've had a chance to play more of that, and that's pretty fantastic. Not that there was ever any doubt that it was going to be, but it's Super Smash Brothers in the way that Super Smash Brothers is, which is already a really solid title, with more characters, more stages, more items, you know, just kind of upped everything, and it's a blast. The kind of campaign mode thing that they have, you have to go and like rescue the spirits of all the characters, and so it's got this progression where you unlock characters as you go through it, which is really good and fun, and so you get to kind of play with different characters that you may not play with otherwise as you unlock them. And it's got this weird like system of like support spirits, and I don't get it all, but it's fun. It's just a blast to play. It's a little bite-sized battle every now and then, and so it's very well done.
Here's what I'm really looking forward to. Chad purchased the accessibility controller way back there months ago, mm-hmm. and it has been living at your house.
Mm-hmm.
We now have at least three games that are this thing is absolutely necessary for. We're gonna need it for Smash, which there is a Switch hack for that. So we're gonna try and do that.
Yep.
And we're gonna need it for Toe Jam and Earl because I'm playing it on keyboard, but it's awful.
I hope because right now I don't think they have any like custom mapping. I hope that they put some custom mapping in.
Dude, I don't even care about custom mapping. Here's what you need to do: take the Diablo model or the Path of Exile model,
yeah,
and just make it where I can move across the map with a mouse. That's all I need.
Yeah, that would actually be great. That would work super well in Toe Jam and Earl.
Yes, And if you're not going to do that, release it on a freaking phone. Yeah. I'm like, it'd be really good on the phone.
Yeah.
I got some email, like, before we started the show. I'm not sure where I saw this. Oh, it's in our show notes. That a game that you love is now available on Android.
Yes.
So
fine.
I think I'm going to be doing that.
Yeah. A game that plays much better on mobile devices than it does on PC, which is a rarity. So, yeah. So that being said, a little tease. Should we get into show notes and
yes.
and all that fun stuff so we can get to these things we keep...
Wait, Patreon guys.
Patreon guys, before we get started, very good. Thanks to Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Smith, Spencer, Spider, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, and Chris for supporting the show. As always, we are greatly appreciative. We should have a roundtable coming up, I would guess, in the next week for the guys that are part of the roundtable. If you want to support us on Patreon as well, you can do that. Go by gamingcensored.com. There's the Become a Patron link there at the top, and we will take your money and buy games and play games and tell you about games because that's fun stuff to do.
And there's content up there.
Yeah.
And there's more coming. I don't know if you saw that, but there's another video in the email that I need you to upload.
Fair enough.
Could. That would be good. I think that was good. The one that's in the email now is gonna turn out to be fairly funny. There's some discussion about Robert Kraft in there that kind of went some places that we did not expect.
Fair.
So there's that. That thanks to the Cabbage for putting that together. And it's I think it's amazing that we've done this show for what this is year 14, right?
Yeah, something like
that. We've made a living off of getting other people to do stuff that we really don't want to do. Now I have Cabbage producing Patreon content. It's
beautiful. I love it.
So that it's the most fantastic thing ever because we play games and he hits the nice little stream button and I don't have to do anything except be me.
Yep.
So... it's a good thing. We're having fun. And extra thanks to the Cabbage for that.
Absolutely. 100%. So getting into the news for this this week or the past couple of weeks, big VR stuff happened, or both VR and mixed reality. We're actually going to start with mixed reality. Microsoft had an event premiered the HoloLens 2. So the HoloLens has been a thing that hasn't really been much of a thing. I don't know that the HoloLens 2 is going to be much of a thing either, but it's a thing, and they showed it off and they made it look all nice and spiffy and the big question for me and for us as a gaming show is at this point, if you go through and watch what they talked about, what they showed off about it. It's not something that they're really pushing towards the gaming side right now, which I think is probably true of augmented reality augmented reality, mixed reality, as opposed to virtual reality, that it's not quite as set up for gaming, even though I think you could do some really fun, interesting gaming stuff with it. But everything they showed off about it was like using it in professional environments or educational environments of being able to, like, they show one where there's like a holograph, you know, body cadaver on a table that you can like open up and look inside. And so for medical training purposes, without having to have, you know, real human cadavers, that you could have a virtual cadaver there but still be in the real world, not completely in virtual reality. Or like it had one where it was showing like working on a motorcycle and being able to see stuff while you're working wearing this headset. And so they're really pushing this thing off of, it feels like, the more kind of business and educational uses of it than the entertainment uses of it. But the tech is super cool, super slick. The new headset is very similar to the original in look, at least. But in the actual specs of it, it's supposed to be, you know, twice the field of vision and better, you know, graphic display and all this kind of stuff. And so, all that said, it's very cool tech, as we've talked about with Microsoft before, who does very cool tech that never quite makes it into gaming. I would like to see how they might implement this into gaming at some point.
You know, what's funny to me is that the stuff that's going on, we're going to talk about a lot of VR this show, and now we're talking about the HoloLens. I really feel like, and I've said to you off mic several times, that there's so much stuff going on now that if we just had the resources, there's enough stuff out there to keep us busy week in and week out for years.
100%.
For us to really, really delve into this stuff the way that it needs to be delved into. What's like the HoloLens, for example? That's 2 weeks worth of playing with something and then putting up a video and here's how it works and here's what we did with it and that kind of stuff. And I just really feel like for the first time in the history of the show, we're at a point where we could easily spend 60 hours a week delving into all of the stuff that we're going to talk about on this show and not run out of content. And that's a place that we have not been before.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. I think it's a part of kind of where we are just in modern society. I think this is true of a lot of different areas of life, not just video games. But I think back to when we were kids, and now maybe we had more time to play games as kids. But like, I could play everything I wanted to play when I was young. You know, like, we could get to it all. Like, there was plenty of stuff I just didn't have any interest in playing, and so we didn't play everything. But, man, we spent, you know, hours playing stupid games because that's what was available, and we already played all the good games, you know? And that's just not the case anymore. Like, there's so many AAA titles I would love to play, but I just don't, because I don't have time to, you know, like, I have to prioritize the big stuff, not to mention, and I, you know how much I love indie titles, and so I get a handful of those, but I see there's one that was on, that's on sale today on Steam that I put on my wish list. I don't even know when, and it popped up in my email. I'm like, I don't even remember what that game is, and I pulled it up today, you know, to see what it was, and I was like, oh, that looks so freaking cool. Like, no wonder I put that on my wish list. That game looks great. There's no chance I'm ever going to play it, though. You know, like, it's just so far down the list of stuff that I want to play. Even though it looks like it's fantastic, I have 20 other games ahead of it that also look like they're fantastic. That I just, yeah, you just can't. And it's awesome in a way, and it sucks in a way. You know, like, it's a really nice problem to have. I'd much rather have too much content than too little. But man, I wish I could get to some of it.
I'll tell you what, it's for two guys that this is what, I mean, let's be realistic. When we started this thing, I was a complete nut job saying this is going to be huge. And you just sort of like went along with like, okay, dude.
14 years later, here we are.
And 14 years later, here we are. But I never really, like, I'm sure in my pea brain I thought, you know, this could be a full-time job back then. But 14 years later, it definitely could be. And I'm frustrated about the fact that we don't have the time or resources to spend on it. Because from my perspective, the HoloLens, to me, is a really, really cool piece of gear that probably has some handicap applications that nobody's thought of yet, and we don't have time to play with it.
Yeah.
Like, the funny thing is, we have money now, but we don't have time to play with it. So, that to me is a little frustrating. And the older we get, I keep thinking there's got to be a point when we're going to have time and ability to do this for real, because we can't not, like... We have to. There's so much cool stuff. We have to at some point.
There is so much cool stuff. Again, yeah. It's a good problem to have, but it's still a problem we have. So, yeah. One other story on the HoloLens, and this is, I actually heard about this on the radio this week. Driving around was my introduction to this HoloLens event in the first place. The U.S. Army and Microsoft have kind of reached an agreement for Microsoft to provide tech and specifically with the HoloLens that the Army can use to wage combat. I mean, that's ultimately what we're talking about here. To have this kind of augmented reality thing that can help them on the battlefield to see enemies.
Metal Gear 4, anybody?
Yeah, like it's getting very gamified, which is a weird way to talk about war, real life war, and to a lot of Microsoft employees is really problematic. And so this is the kind of gist of it. There's a group of employees from Microsoft that are calling themselves Microsoft Workers for Good that are essentially saying, we don't want the work that we've done in research and development on this technology to be used to kill people, and are pushing back against this deal that Microsoft has made with the military to employ this technology to wage war. And it's kind of, to me, I don't know quite how I feel about it, but it's a fascinating reality of modern technology, and especially of kind of the video gamification of life in so many ways that we've been able to kind of make other things outside of the video game world either tangentially or directly related to how we interact with video games, and now taking that deeper into how we wage war and disconnecting people from the reality of the war that they're waging. I don't know if you've ever watched. You've watched Arrested Development. Have you watched the later seasons of Arrested Development?
I went in for. Do they have, what is there? There's like,
there's five
two?
Now, but I think there's it was five. Season four that was on Netflix. I don't remember back somewhere in there.
Right, I watched whatever the first one on Netflix was. I watched that.
Yeah. I think it was in that one where Buster gets a job with the Army. Back with the Army, whatever, digging into Arrested Development stuff. But his job is he's a drone pilot, but he's a drone pilot that's like in like a strip mall, you know?
Yeah, and, I remember that, yeah.
And like he's like, he thinks he's playing a video game, and like he's like flying this drone around and like shooting people, and like in the show, he's like giddy because he's like winning a video game, and then like they let him know that like he's really killing people, you know, like this is really a thing that's happening halfway across the world, and he like has a mental breakdown of it, and that's funny in the show or whatever, but like that's kind of a real thing here, you know, that we're gamifying war, that like there's going to be people that are approaching it in this kind of like, this is a video game kind of environment, not a life or death kind of environment. Maybe that's getting too far, but that's the argument that these workers from Microsoft are making about why they don't want their tech used for this.
Okay, so you and I are bad examples for this because we're not in the military, we're not around military. I don't know. The issue that I have with what they said is that anybody that is using this tech right now knows what they're using it for. And they know how it's being applied. We may get to a future date where you have, you know, 16-year-old kids in a room that are savants or geniuses that don't know. But we're not there yet.
Yeah.
And so when it gets to there, that's bad. For right now, I think everybody that is using this tech has to know what they're using it for. Now let me say this. It's not good it's not cool to think about using this kind of tech to wage war, but and my issue with their argument is that these guys, these Microsoft employees, are paid to do a job, and the point of Microsoft's existence is to make money, so they have a contract with the army to make money that pays them. If these guys don't want this to happen, then quit your job. Like, go do something else. I understand they're upset, and they probably have good reason to be, but because you protest, Microsoft is not going to look at that and go, oh, well, yeah, you're right. Let's just trash the contract and do the right thing, because they're in it to make money. And I feel bad for these guys because they have a point. But, like, what do they really expect is going to happen?
Yeah, I definitely hear you. And I've mentioned this before on the show. Like, I'm pretty pacifist in my approach.
You're very pacifist.
Which is a funny thing. We make fun of it because I love violent video games, and so it's kind of antithetical to my personal views and beliefs to be like so into like blowing people's heads off in video games. I love that in video games. I'm not a big supporter of that in real life, and so. This is such a weird thing to me. I'm trying to figure out kind of how I feel about it. Because on one hand, if I was an employee of Microsoft and worked on this tech, I think I'd be a part of this group. Like, I think I would have those legit concerns, or at least I could empathize with those, if nothing else. And I hear what you're saying about Microsoft's in to make money, but I also believe we should hold corporations, and this has to go farther than just the people that work there, but they're making a thing about this that's now obviously in the public sphere. And so it can grow from there. It can snowball into not just people that work there, but other people also pushing back against this as well. I think there's a place to hold corporations to some, you know, kind of morally agreed upon principles. Whether or not this falls into it or not, though, is a question I have. Because honestly, one of my biggest issues with war is that there's so much collateral damage. And I look at the ways that we both how we wage war, but also how our enemies manipulate battlefields to you know, set up weapons storage facilities right next to schools or stuff like that. They know that is either going to be a disincentive to strike those facilities, or that if we do strike those facilities, there's going to be this collateral damage that's going to be a massive PR hit. And something like this kind of technology to me says we can minimize some of that collateral damage. Like, this could be useful to wage war more efficiently, to actually to achieve those objectives without killing a bunch of innocent civilians. And so, like, in that way, I'm like, well, this could be actually a really beneficial thing to my worldview that says I don't want there to be war anyway. But if there is going to be war, which there is, let's do it as effectively and efficiently as possible to not kill a bunch of innocent people in our wake. And then I'm kind of like, well, maybe it's a good idea. I'm just so torn on the whole stupid thing.
Well, okay, so here's the thing, and I can't believe we're going down this road because we only have an hour show. Yeah. We don't have time.
I knew this was going to be fascinating.
But now I'm really into it. So you're a pacifist, and I'm less of a pacifist, but I don't like, you know, I don't like people mine either. But can we agree that there are factions and people in this world that need to be taken out? That that are dangerous and need to be kept in check. And that's the only way you're going to keep them in check. I mean, there's a guy over there on another continent that supposedly has nukes and... And he's a little nutty, and I mean, if Dennis Rodman is your best friend,
yeah,
you're gonna be a little nutty. I think we're eventually gonna have to do something to keep that guy in check because I think he's out of his mind. I understand your objections to the whole war thing, and for the most part, I agree. But I wholeheartedly believe that there are just some people, maybe a lot of crazy people that need to be taken out.
Yeah, and I'll agree with that to an extent, at least that sometimes it's inevitable, and there are situations where there's just horrific evil in this world. Like ISIS is something that's just horrifically evil, and there's not really a way to combat, you know, at least a portion of what the problem is there without violence, without, you know, direct military force back on that. But there's also other ways to solve that problem as well. Just killing a bunch of people isn't going to solve that problem. It is going to be part of the process of solving that problem ultimately. But there's other things at play. Same thing with something like North Korea. Like, you could kill Kim Jong-un. I don't think that fixes the problem of North Korea. There's other, you know, very, very detailed, heavy, whatever, diplomatic things that have to go into all this stuff. But at the end of the day, you're absolutely right. There's going to be some level of military intervention in the world always. Like, that's just going to be a reality of life. As much as I don't love it, I can admit that there's a time where it's the only feasible option in order to keep people safe. And that's important, too. Like, you have to push back against those things. And so...
And so, with that being said, here's my thing. And you can rebut this if you want. But this is where I get hung up with this group at Microsoft. If we agree that is the case, that this is going to happen, shouldn't the army and the other branches of the military have access to the best possible tech that they can have? And I think that's what Microsoft is doing. They're making a lot of money in the process.
Right.
But I think that's what's happening. So, again, back to my argument, if you don't like it, go get another job.
Yeah, and the pushback I'd have to that specific part of the argument is you could quit at this point, but you've already done the work. Like, you quitting at this point doesn't fix the problem. Like, they didn't tell you on the front end what you were working on was going to be used for this purpose. I would be legitimately pissed about that, too. Like, I can understand why that would be a problem and why it's more effective than just quitting your job, which isn't going to probably get a bunch of public attention, to make a group and to write this open letter and to go on radio shows to talk about it and all that kind of stuff to try to get this into the public sphere, which they've done. And so I appreciate that. I think on both sides, like, it's this thing that can only happen in America. That's great. That's like both a private company can work with the government, can make a lot of money off of that, and can also produce something that's probably useful for the public good. And I think that this can be. I don't know that it is. Like, let me be clear about that. Employing HoloLens on the battlefield may be a really, really bad idea. Like, I don't have enough information to know one way or the other. In the best case scenario, I think it could be really beneficial. But either way, like, a corporation has a right to work with the government to make that happen, and the employees of that corporation have a right to be pissed about it and take that to the public sphere and to get dialogue going. And so, like, in a weird way, even though it's, like, two sides, like, fighting against each other, I'm kind of happy that both sides have the right to fight against each other.
And, again, I'm not really against the fight. What I'm against is this very American idea that's, like, okay, yeah, I don't want you to do this thing that you're doing, and I still want to keep collecting a paycheck.
Sure.
Like, I don't want you to do this thing that you're doing, and that needs to stop, but, like, keep giving me the $150,000 a year that I'm making. and stop doing what you're doing. Like, it's very, like, the thing on the radio today has been, on sports radio at least, has been all about Antonio Brown and Kyler Murray and, you know, when you put those two together.
Sure.
And do you put up with Antonio Brown because he's a talent? Do you give him another contract because, he has the ability to do what he does? And I'm thinking, you know, only in America can you be a complete diva nut job and get paid and somebody just put up with it.
Yeah.
And we have this idea in America that everybody should get what they want and nobody should ever be unhappy. And it's really starting to rub me the wrong way. Like, it just, I have a problem with that. And that's kind of, on one side of this, that's how I kind of feel about this. Like, these guys are right, and they're totally within their rights to protest, but you can't have it both ways. Like,
I agree to an extent. I think those two situations are vastly different.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
Like, again, if it's not life or death, like, I think I would side with you most of the time in that argument.
Yes.
But this is literally life and death. Like, this is literally using the technology that they worked on to kill people. And I, at that point, I have a lot of sympathy for why you would not be okay with that. And I think that would translate into lots of other places as well. But this one specifically dealing with the military is going to stoke a certain either patriotic response to that or whatever. But it could be a multitude of different issues that are similar, that it's just, man, it's just a hard line to figure out, like, how to walk. And so, I don't.
Yeah,
it's fascinating. It's an interesting conversation and something we're gonna honestly see more of as this technology that's been developed for video game purposes or entertainment purposes finds other uses. Not always are those uses going to be kind of mutually agreed upon. I don't think many people are pissed at Microsoft that the HoloLens is also being used to educate, you know, people on how to better conduct a surgery. You know, like, I think most people would be like, oh yeah, I'm pretty proud that I worked on that. And so there's going to be a lot of issues where the technology spreads and integrates into different parts of society that everybody's like, okay, that's for the mutual good, and there's going to be very few people complaining. But there are going to be times like this and other situations where that technology then gets utilized into ways that people don't want it utilized. And it's not only this, there's a billion porn applications with all this kind of stuff. A lot of people that worked on it probably aren't really digging that their, you know, hard work is going to make, you know, porn different or more accessible or whatever it is to a group of people. And that's weird too. Like, I don't know, like, okay, good. You're not happy about that. But then again, like, there's technology and whatever. It's always going to be a struggle when we have new tech of how people that were involved with that tech react whenever it gets used for things they didn't foresee.
Can we mention, now that we've done 20 minutes on this, that we have the ability to do other podcasts, ladies and gentlemen? And if you want us to do other podcasts, whether it be a sports podcast, whether it be politics podcast, whatever it may be, we can do it. We just need money. So
that's fair.
Yeah,
really, you pay us whatever you want us to talk about. We'll talk about. We don't care.
Yeah, so. we really don't care. Like, we can do this all day. It's when we get on subjects like this that I think, man, we could really, if we had time, We could really do something with that type of show as well, because we think a lot alike, but we both have the ability to see the other side, which you don't find a lot of places.
Yeah.
So we say once again, as we do every show, give us money and we'll do more stuff.
There you go. All that being said, we'll move off on this, talk about a couple other VR things really quickly. HTC also made some announcements this week about a couple of pieces of gear that we already know a little bit about. Now we know a little bit more about. We still don't know price points, and that's the probably biggest question going forward. But we know HTC is working on two new headsets. The Vive Focus, which is a standalone headset. This is similar to the, what is it called? The Oculus Quest. That's their standalone headset, meaning that you don't have to have it plugged into a PC or a smartphone or anything else, that it's a single unit. We've seen a little bit more of that, the design of that, the controllers that go along with that, which are looking really slick, similar in a lot of ways to what the Oculus Touch controllers are. And then we've seen a little bit more now with the Vive Cosmos, which is their next high-end headset that does need the PC or theoretically a smartphone. And so I've got some questions there about how that'll work. But it's the kind of inside-out room-scale thing that also has these controllers that are similar to what the Oculus Touch are. It has the kind of ring around it that goes around your hand, kind of, not exactly. I don't know how to explain it, but you can go by the show notes, gamingassistant.com, and see the pictures.
And the interesting thing there is I've been looking at these things for several weeks now, and granted, my hands don't work, and so I'm kind of having trouble getting my brain around how you use these, because the buttons seem to be awkwardly placed on both sides, whether it be the Oculus or the Vive.
Yeah.
They seem to be very awkwardly placed. And maybe it's just because my hands don't work and they never have. And so I'm not sure. But everybody that's used them says that they're fabulous.
Yeah. Seems to be the consensus. And so these are supposed to be really responsive. I don't know. I'm just excited about new VR tech because VR is cool. And like I just wanted the tech to continue to get better. So both of them are working on it. Oculus has more gear coming out all the time, too. And yeah, it's exciting stuff. So a couple of other quick things, because we're already running out of time because we went on that other topic. But we do have to talk about a few departures in the game industry. First, a person, and this shocked me, and maybe people knew this was coming, but I did not know this was coming. Reggie is retiring from Nintendo in a month.
Now, I didn't know it was a month.
Yeah, April 15th is Reggie's last day with Nintendo. So happy birthday to you.
Yeah.
So happy birthday, happy retirement to Reggie. I'm really bummed about it. I just love Reggie. It's going to be sad. Now, this is great. An exec that's been with Nintendo for a long time, and so we've talked about his name once or twice on the show, I think, but it's just perfect. The guy who will take over as Nintendo of America president is Doug Bowser. Doug Bowser will be the new president of Nintendo of America, which is just phenomenal.
Love it. That's fantastic.
It's great. Could not be better.
I can't wait till we get to E3 and the GameSpot guys or the IGN guys have him on the set and they just start calling him Bows.
Yeah.
Like he just Bows. What's up, man? What's up, Bows? It's gonna be fantastic.
It will be. It will be great. So there's Reggie leaving Nintendo. Sony also is ringing in the end of an era with the end of the Vita. The Vita is officially no longer in production, which is, that thing had quite a life. That lasted a while.
Yes, it did.
And it was kind of the Switch before the Switch in a lot of ways. Like it's the kind of same configuration as a Switch. Without obviously the dockable and removable controllers and all the cool things the Switch does, but just the kind of handheld design is very similar to the Switch in its handheld mode. And so if you don't have a Vita, you're going to have to buy a used one because there aren't new ones coming anymore. So there you go.
And so we probably don't have time to talk about
go this, ahead.
Do we have time to go off on a slight Sony tangent?
Absolutely.
Because I don't know if you saw this, but apparently PS5 is coming, which everybody knows.
Sure.
And I read something that said that backwards compatibility is coming back, which I think is bizarre. Because it's like they put it in for a console and then they take it out. And so we rebuy all these games, and then they put it back in, and then they take it out. And so I'm wondering your thoughts on backwards compatibility for the PS5, and how far back does it go?
Yeah, because the rumor I saw, maybe the same thing that you saw, I think somebody posted on the Facebook group, actually, I don't remember, but wherever it came from was like, it was supposed to be like everything, like anything PlayStation ever will run on the PlayStation 5. And that's cool, and I love it, because we used to be the biggest proponents of backwards compatibility, and whenever, whichever the PlayStation 3 didn't have fully backwards compatibility, I was so terribly pissed about that and thought it was the end of the world and everything else. And then it kind of didn't matter to me at all. Like, once it actually came out, like, I didn't miss it, in part because I didn't have time to go back and play old games. And when I do want to go back and play old games at this point, like you said, they're just available differently now. So there's like virtual consoles and that kind of stuff. And so instead of backwards compatibility, the games that I really care about, there's oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes a way to get access to those. But the other thing I'll say about backwards compatibility, where it's kind of strange that they're putting effort into it, I don't know how much effort it actually is taking to make it happen at this point, how challenging that tech is, but I'm sure it's somewhat, I don't know how greatly challenging it is. But to me, the kind of shocking thing is that if you want to be backwards compatible to the recent stuff, so much of recent stuff is digital distribution, isn't physical copies of it, you know? And so I guess, like, if you have Red Dead 2 in your PlayStation library, the idea that you can now download that onto your PlayStation 5 and keep playing it just like on your PlayStation 4 is super appealing. But it feels just a little bit different to me because we're moving away from physical media. And I think about physical media being the place that you really need backwards compatibility. I guess it's really much more about being able to run the engines of the games and that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, I love it. I hope it's true. I hope it is backwards compatible because I think that's a great feature. But it's definitely not as big of a deal to me as it was 10 years ago.
Sony, can we work on a better media box? Can we do that? Because PlayStation 3 was really good. PlayStation 4 is just kind of okay.
Yeah.
Like, I need a media box that does literally everything.
Yeah.
Give me that, and I'll be happy. And I can't believe we're talking about this, because as insane as it sounds, you know we're going to buy this thing when it comes out.
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah, no doubt, like, about it.
I haven't played a game on my PS4 like ever.
Yeah.
And I know I'm gonna buy a PS5. Why? Because that's what you do.
Yeah. I've played games on your PS4.
Yes, you have. Yes, you have. And shout out to Microsoft. You really want to help me make the accessibility controller PS4 friendly?
Yeah,
because then I'll be playing
Sony make the Microsoft compatible. I think it's much more a Sony issue that it's not easily compatible than a Microsoft issue. Yeah, Sony just doesn't play nice with others. Come on.
Boy, I would lose my life for, like, which, by the way, we have no time for this, but I told somebody where we were at in Red Dead. And he was like, I don't remember if it was Duff or I think it was Cabbage.
Probably
said it. He was like, dude, do you realize you guys have got like 50 hours left?
Yeah.
Like 50 hours. Do you realize this? You gotta move. And I'm like, what do you want, man?
Yeah.
Like, we're not getting paid to do this. So yeah, there's so much stuff to play. And if they would just do that, it would make me happy.
Yes, fair. Really quickly, a couple of other things, just because I teased this one. So about Toe Jam and Earl, circling back around to where we started with Toe Jam and Earl. One of the executive producers of the new Toe Jam and Earl game is none other than Macaulay Culkin. Which
what?
Just makes me so freaking happy. So apparently Macaulay Culkin is a gamer, likes video games, but doesn't really play much recent stuff. He says the most recent console he owns is an Xbox 360, but most of what he plays is like Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis games. And one of the games that he loves from his childhood, which would also be our childhood, is Toe Jam and Earl, and talked about how like him and his buddies play it together and actually like play it competitively, where like they try to screw each other in co-op instead of working together in co-op, which is kind of a blast. And they've actually turned it into like a drinking game and all this crazy stuff. And somehow he landed as an executive producer on the new game, which again, to my like 90s kid, the fact that Macaulay Culkin is an executive producer on the remake of Toe Jam and Earl is just the best thing in the world.
I have to mention the fact, because I've been thinking a lot about this. We have massive contracts in the NBA. We have massive contracts in MLB. Which,
good
holy
gracious.
Crap, we didn't even get to that.
Yeah.
Can we get like 1% of all the money and all the stuff?
Just Bryce Harper. See, it'd be 1% of Bryce Harper's contract. I'll be happy
like,
for a long time.
Hold on. We definitely don't have time for this, but we just got to have a real quick discussion. Because they had it on PTI, I want to have it with you. Look, I understand he has the biggest overall contract in history, but did you see that deal that said that if he would have gone to LA, he would have made $180 in 4 years and been eligible for another max contract?
Yeah.
Like, has that dude lost his mind?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's wise of him, because I think of Andrew Pujols' massive contract he signed with
Albert.
The Angels. Albert, sorry,
yeah,
that he signed with the Angels after like his best years, like they gave him this massive contract. It's like he's okay still, but he wasn't nearly the Pujols that he was in most of his career. Bryce Harper's a little younger, a little bit more in his prime, but man, if you can get that through 13 years, I'm going to take the length on that more than the you know, shorter contract with the higher dollars, because you don't know what happens in 4 years.
Well, what I'm saying is, in 4 years, he'll be 30. We ain't talking about a 35-year-old.
But if you blow a knee or something, and you're done,
that's
the thing about
true.
Baseball contracts. Like, he's going to be getting paid 13 years from now, no matter what.
That's rock solid. You're correct. You just
like, if it's the NFL, it's a whole different ballgame. But for an MLB contract, yeah, you take that 13 years. I get that.
All we need is 1/10 of one of these contracts. Yeah. 1/10.
Yeah. 1/10 of 1% would make me pretty happy. It's just crazy. Yeah.
It's amazing to me. We have so much stuff to talk about and not enough time.
Let me throw in a couple other things just really quickly before we wrap.
Okay.
About E3, we will officially have more Cyberpunk 2077 at E3. I don't think that's a big surprise, but it's a nice confirmation. And man, am I excited about seeing more of that game. I'm so pumped about it. And we will be getting content from the new Star Wars game from Respawn, Jedi Fallen Order, on April 13th. And so a couple months before E3. And that I'm really curious about. Like, I think this could be a decent Star Wars game. I just don't know. But I think it could be. And so I'm hopeful as though, yeah, I want to see more of it. We've seen basically nothing of it yet other than that ridiculous little teaser we got last year at E3. And so I hope it's good. I really do.
Yeah, I hope it is. I mean, because it's been a while since we had good Star Wars.
Yeah. And it's supposed to be, you know, I think it's supposed to be solo focused, single player focused, or not a big battlefront kind of game. It's supposed to be like you're one of the Padawans that survived after, you know, the stuff that happens in episode 3. And like the premise and everything sounds cool. And so if you can make it a fun, I don't think it's going to be Knights, but I think you could still make a really fun game that would be a pleasant deviation from what Star Wars games have been recently, which is a lot of Battlefront, which is fine, but not what I want from a Star Wars game.
Man, where is my Nazi Old Republic?
Isn't
give
that
me
the
some
truth?
Of that. Holy cow.
Good gracious. That franchise has been gone too long. So, and one thing you mentioned earlier, Stardew Valley is officially coming to Android, finally. It's taken it a while to get there. But if you have an Android device, you haven't played Stardew Valley, congratulations. You get a chance to. And it's so much better on mobile, just the control scheme. Very rarely do I say that about a game that ports from PC to or consoles to mobile devices, but mobile controls on Stardew Valley are great, and so it's a great game. I just love the thing. Y'all have heard me talk about it enough at this point, but fantastic.
Yeah, it's I'm excited just to see how it's supposed to play.
Yeah, yeah, but it's way better. So, and then releases really quick. Of course, Toe Jam and Earl. By the way, so the Metacritic score for the new Toe Jam and Earl on PC is a 78, which I think is about what I would expect it to be.
Right.
And to me, it's like a 95 because I just love it. And so, but anyway, obviously, that's a big new release. Dead or Alive 6 is out now, which blows my mind that there's still more of those, but hey, here we are. Dead or Alive 6 has a 76 on Metacritic. I was thinking there was one more. Oh, Anthem has come out. It's been a little bit since we did a show, but Anthem's officially out. Didn't have quite as high of a score. I'm trying to remember. I think it was like a 65 or something like that. 65, yep. The Xbox version of Anthem. And so, good and bad about Anthem. It's darn pretty. I'll give it that much. And so,
yes, it is. And I had a guy, I know a guy that played through it, and he said, if you go into it with the right expectations, it's fun to play an entire game in an Iron Man suit.
Yeah.
Like, that's essentially what it is. Yeah. And if you take it for that, it's pretty fun.
That seems fair. I could understand that for sure. So, yeah, go by the show notes, gamingunsensored.com, because there's stuff we didn't get to. So go check it out.
There always is.
Always
like,
is.
You people don't understand. We will always be, it drives me crazy, but we will always be radio people. And we can do 3 hours a day. If we had the resources to do 3 hours a day, we could do it. And we still wouldn't run out of stuff.
Yeah. We can talk about stupid stuff for as long as you want us to.
Yes, we can. And all of that being said, since we're on that, we have the potential. We were just talking off mic. We have the potential upcoming in the next month and a half or so for 3 trips. One of these trips includes Duff. For 3 days.
Yeah.
Okay, so think this out. We got 3 trips. I want to make all 3 trips, but if you want that to happen and you want some major GU content, aside from the fact that I might lose my voice again, if you want 3 trips to happen and major GU content, we gotta have more cash, because the only thing stopping us is money, and you guys have been good to us, and we are literally looking at 3 different time periods. E3 will obviously be a week, and we're looking at a couple of other weekends, and it just takes money, folks. So if you want to help us out with that, there's a couple of different ways to do that. You can hit us on PayPal or the Patreon. And believe it or not, there's content over there. Thanks to the Cabbage. We will take your money. We will give you content. And it will be funny, especially with Duff in the building. There may be more alcohol than we're accustomed to with Duff in the building. I'll tell you that right now.
Fair enough.
But that will make for some good content. And we are really excited. It's getting to that time of year when I'm tired and you're tired. And all we want to do is quit everything and play.
Yeah.
So I'm really pumped, but to make all that happen, we gotta have your help. So we promise you, whatever we give you is gonna be worth it, because we've spent way too much time being too busy, and I'm ready to not be. So
yeah,
there's that. We have, like I said, 3 trips coming up that can happen. All we need is a little money, so definitely keep that in mind. Go by the Facebook page. Lots of fun stuff going on over there. Our buddy Firestorm is on top of it over there. He's constantly posing a question. I'm like, dude, what are you, like, posting at work? Like, what is going on there? But there's all kinds of cool stuff going on over there. We've got the Twitter, which is PodcastGU. There's actually content. Well, there will be content on the website. It's available to Patreon folks now. It will be on the website shortly. What else, sir?
Voicemail line, 509-GAME-210. We do have a segment in the queue we didn't get to today, but our boy Brigham did a segment on his motorcycle, which is pretty phenomenal.
Wow!
So that's coming. You'll get that soon. But if you want to send us a segment, 509-GAME-210 is the easiest way to do that. You can also just record some audio and send it to gaminguncensored@gmail.com, and we'll play it on the show, because we like doing that. It's fun.
Yes, we do. And there's another reason for longer shows, which also require money.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's that. We'll just take everything you got.
Absolutely.
Hey, Bryce Harper, if you're out there.
Yeah.
Just a little bit, man. Just a little bit. Like, you can keep us running for years. That's all I'm saying.
Absolutely.
Is there anything else, sir?
No, I think we're good.
All right, I'm Jamie, that's Tommy, and for one more week, this is Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gaminguncensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.